friends, welcome to today's episode of Daily Musings. Happy Friday, Alicia here. And I just wanted to remind you that I do a podcast version of this, and I've been more present there than on YouTube, so I'll have that all linked below if you want to check it out. What I wanted to talk about today is something that one of you emailed me just a question, and is something that has been on my mind as well. And it's the idea of retention. How do you remember what you read from the books that you're reading? And this is something that I am not super adept at. I know a lot of people who are way better at capturing really specific facts and things and retaining them in their long-term memory, which I find incredibly interesting. But this is something that I've been thinking about a lot myself, so I do have a few ideas on that matter. When I started reading 52 books-ish a year, probably like 6 or 7 years ago, my idea wasn't to master all the books that I was reading. I really started that amount of reading, and a lot of the books I was reading were of a personal development type nature, like self-help, those kinds of books. My intention was more to just immerse myself in good vibes, for lack of a better terminology. I knew that listening to particular audiobooks or reading particular text-based books that were talking about productivity, spirituality, just like general gratitude, health, well-being, those kinds of things, tended to put me in a higher state, like a better frame of mind, more positive and engaged with the world. So it wasn't so much that I was trying to memorize the contents of every book that I was reading. It's just that I wanted to be immersed in other people's energy, basically, to carry me forward, to boost me up when I was feeling low, and to give me some ideas to chew on as well. So one thing that I've really held on to as well is something that James Altucher has said. I really like his podcast. I listen to it a lot. He basically says that with books, he likes to suck the life out of them like a vampire. And he just loves reading a lot of books. And his whole thing is that even if he only retains 1% of that book or keeps one idea from an entire book, that ends up accumulating and that ends up having like a pretty massive impact. And I found the same thing true in my case. So when I look at my bookshelf or when I think about the books that I've read, I'm not really calling to mind like an entire itinerary of like all the points mentioned. So for example, right now I'm looking at the book How Not to Diet by Michael Greger. And I remember that there's like 21 or 23 suggestions he has for like science-based suggestions for losing weight and health and things like that. So I remember like the gist of it. I remember the structure of it, but I wouldn't be able to list off all of the 21 things. I could probably list off some of them. So there's a section entirely on fasting and different types of fasting. Adding apple cider vinegar or some kind of vinegar to each meal is another, like a green tea. There's some interesting ones in there that have stuck in my mind, but I don't recall like every piece or like the entire structure of a book. I don't remember specific quotations or anything like that. More like I like to carry the general idea. So an example of this is Marie Forleo wrote a book called Everything is Figure-Outable. And my takeaway of that book was that everything is figure-outable. I don't actually remember much specific about that book, but I remember the energy. She's a very positive, upbeat person, very like can-do attitude. She's like a self-made woman, really inspiring. And the book was essentially just a collection of stories about her own life and other people's lives who she's worked with, about just getting through anything and figuring out very difficult things and figuring out how to make your dreams a reality. And so I don't have like a really detailed takeaway, but more the idea is crystallized and something I actually think about sometimes when I seem to have insurmountable problems. It's just like, okay, well, this is figure-outable. Everything is figure-outable. So even though I'm not going to be able to tell you like the entire book report of what that book was, I have retained the core concept. The core concept is integrated into me somehow on some deeper level. So that's generally the approach I take with the books that I read. Now, there's a big difference though between the books that I listen to and the books that I read, which I do both of. And I do notice that when I listen to books, I retain a lot less than if I'm actually reading them. There's something about the audiobook format that makes it hard to perceive a structure. So if I'm flipping through a physical copy of a book, I see the table of contents, I see the way all the content is organized, organized. And as I'm flipping through the pages, that organization of content and ideas just makes way more sense. When I listen to something, I don't have that clear structure. Maybe in a book like The Power of Moments, I believe there's something like four main ways to make potent, lasting memories. But I have no recollection of how it's organized beyond that because I listen to it as an audiobook. So there's something that I think, especially with nonfiction, if you want to retain it, it's probably better to read it. And I actually think I would add to that. It's probably better to read it and listen to it. It's just a different way to process information. So I've done this before, actually, where I find that when I sit down and read a book and then I later listen to the audiobook version, then it clicks into place in a totally different way. It solidifies some of the things I was reading. It makes it more internalized somehow. When I do the double layering, I always like to, there's a few books that I own that they're like the triple threats. So that means I own them on Kindle, hard copy, and audiobook formats. And not very many books have the triple crown, I guess, in this regard in my life. But I like having different formats for the same content because that's a really good way to improve retention as far as I'm concerned, especially to get the essence. And especially if the author themselves is reading the book. One thing I've been playing around with when it comes to audiobooks is looking at a summary of the book after I've listened to it. So if I listen to, actually right now I'm listening to The Art of Learning, which is a really enjoyable book about and someone who used to be a chess master, but who basically just is talking, like there's a lot of great stories. He's teaching you how to learn more or less through his life stories. But since I'm listening to it and I'm only about halfway through, I don't have a clear sense of its structure. So what I would do after that is I would go and Google like a summary or someone's review, because that will give me the structure that I'm missing. It'll give me the main points that I can then look at and like, oh yeah, I remember when he talked about that. Oh yeah, I remember when he talked about that. I also like doing a quick search often on Goodreads to find quotations, memorable quotations from a book. So I believe these are popular Kindle highlights because Kindle and Goodreads is integrated. So the more someone highlights a particular passage, the higher in the ranking that quotation is going to be. And most books that you can find on Goodreads, which is pretty much every book, has like a sizable stack of quotations. And just looking at the quotations again is another way to bring the content down to earth for me a little bit more. So that helps my retention enormously. Sometimes I'll even write down my favorite quotations in a book that I have. It's just like a little notebook that is called it's a commonplace book if you're going by like Renaissance terminology, but it's just a place for memorable quotations. And I do really like flipping through it sometimes. It's a nice little treat for myself. But if I were to, if I wanted to study a book like Getting Things Done by David Allen, I think that would be really difficult to absorb in an audiobook format because that's like a step-by-step process type book. It's not just a general philosophy type book. So a book like The Art of Learning, fabulous to listen to as an audiobook because it's basically Scott Waitzkin talking about his life experience, and it just feels so much more personal. Or I really like biographies or autobiographies written by or read by the author. So for example, Shoe Dog about Nike is a really good audiobook. Like it's very engaging. I really liked Arnold Schwarzenegger's, of course, Michelle Obama's book, fabulous. And I'm midway through Barack Obama's book as well, which, well, I don't think it's as engaging as Michelle's on a personal level, because he talks a lot more politics and policy and stuff like that. It's still really, really cool to listen to it by the author. So audiobooks, and those are books though that aren't giving you like a step-by-step process. They're more the author sharing their life and their stories and their takeaways, which I think is a really good way to absorb the message and the feeling of what they're trying to convey to you. Whereas if I was to try to get through David Allen's Getting Things Done, I need to see his steps because he gives you very specific instructions on how to organize your life and create systems and things like that. So I've gone through his book multiple times and I like referring to it time and again, just to see like the exact instructions. A lot of times when I'm trying to decide if I'm going to listen to something as an audiobook or if it's a physical book kind of thing, I ask the question, is this like a process type book? If it's a process type book, probably better to have the physical copy. If it's a biography or a comedy book, something like Neil Patrick Harris has a really good comedy book. It's like in a choose your own adventure format. It's really fun to listen to. I'll always opt to listen to those ones by the author because I think they're funnier than they would be in print, like actually just hearing them speak out loud. Is it fiction? I've had really like hit or miss with fiction. So there's probably the best fiction I've ever listened to the audiobook format was The Help, which is narrated by three different women because there are three main characters in the book. That one was so engaging as an audiobook that I like my house was sparkling clean because I didn't want to stop listening to it, but I don't like sitting idly while I'm listening. So I was just cleaning everything while I listened. So that was a really good audiobook, but some fiction is too dense and confusing. So one example would be a book that I really like by Jane Austen called Emma. Emma, I've read before. I've read the physical copy probably two or three times. I think the first time I read it, I would have been like 15 or something. So when I listened to the audiobook version of that, it was great because I already knew the story. I already had like a sense of the characters and everything like that. I knew the language. But if I'd never read Emma before, I think that would have been a difficult audiobook to listen to. And I don't think some literature, and I would actually venture to say most literature, I think is almost more enjoyable to savor with the physical words because you can linger over it a little bit more. It's easier for me to appreciate the beauty of writing when I'm actually looking at the words as opposed to just listening to it. Of course, it depends on the book because some books really do sound great when they're read out loud. Anna Karenina blew my mind when I listened to the audiobook version of that. But it was a little bit more difficult to follow, I think, than it would have been if I was just reading the physical copy. So a final note that I want to make that I've been experimenting with this year to improve my retention, especially because I've been reading a lot more books than usual this year, is I've been taking notes. And that's such an old school way, but it's effective, right? So one thing that I've been coming across when I've been studying childhood education is the value in being able to talk about what you've just learned. So there's a British woman from the turn of the 20th century, Charlotte Mason, who in her education structure, she gets kids to do something called narration. And narration is the idea of saying out loud that which you've just learned or that which you've just heard. So if a student was listening to, I don't know, like a story, like a Shakespeare story or something like that, just a little bit, like just a, you know, maybe 10 minutes of reading, it wouldn't be like a really long thing. They would then say like what they would remember from it. So you're listening in order to be able to, say it in your own words, what happened. And when you do that, it totally changes the way you listen to a story or read a story. You tend to grasp the material a little bit more thoroughly. So in practice, what this might look like for me is when I read a chapter of a book, my temptation is to keep going and to read the next chapter. And sometimes I do that. But when I read start to finish one chapter and I'm paying attention to how I am going to take notes when the chapter is over, I find that my retention is way better because I have a sense of the flow, like the arc of the entire chapter. It's not just this blob of information that stretches endlessly. Because one thing I've done before is I've read a book in its entirety and then tried to go back to dig out the wisdom. Whereas I feel like if I'm just assimilating it on a chapter by chapter basis, so one chapter, I'm thinking it through and then I'm taking notes after the chapter's over, I like writing down my own thoughts first, which is hard to do because I'm tempted to just copy passages. But if I read something like a chapter and then I try to, okay, what did I get out of this? What was my takeaway? How would I explain this chapter to someone? And then I start my notes there and then I go in and dig for important quotations or interesting things to check out or whatever. I find I get way better results. And another aspect of that is, can you have a conversation about what you're learning? So this is just the same thing, except instead of having a conversation with yourself, taking your own notes, you're having a conversation with another person. When you say, hey, guess what I'm reading? And then they say, oh, what are you reading? And then you have to try to explain the things that you're learning. This is great because what happens if you have an engaged friend or someone that you could talk to what you're reading about, they'll probably ask questions. They'll dig into it a little bit more. Oh, what does that mean? And then you have to think, oh, how do I explain this? And that ends up illuminating how well or not well you understand something. Because sometimes as soon as I start to explain something, I stop and realize, oh wait, actually, I don't know how to explain this. My memory bank is empty. And then I have more questions. Oh, well, what does this mean? And then by asking those questions, I gain a better, more rounded understanding of whatever topic is at hand. So conversations, great way to also solidify the things that you're learning. Being involved in book clubs it's not something I've been doing since COVID, but that is super, super fun. I've been involved in fiction-based book clubs, and the fiction books that I've read in a book club, I actually remember way better than fiction books that I read on my own. Not always, but a lot of the time, because if you sit in a room with, you know, some friends and you discuss a book for a couple hours, you're going to think about it in a totally different way, because you're going to be coming up against other people's opinions and ideas, and you have to make your own ideas. If someone's arguing against a book and you really loved it, you have to dig inside it. Well, why did I love it? What was enjoyable about it? And you are able to get the habit of thinking a little bit more critically about what you're reading. So I feel like I've said a lot of things. Main takeaways from this video perhaps would be physical books almost always have better retention comes from reading physical books in my experience. Stopping to jot down notes, as in my own personal thoughts and takeaways after a single chapter, really good way to improve retention, because I'm forcing myself to think my own thoughts. When you're reading a book, you're thinking the author's thoughts and your own at the same time. It's kind of a collaborative affair. But at the end, I want to be able to, okay, how would I express this? What do I take away from this? And it doesn't have to be memorizing the author's points. It could be just as valuable to have a counter argument, or what are my own takeaways? Did I realize something that was peripheral but not central to what the topic was at hand? So anyway, chapter by chapter analysis. If you're listening to audiobooks, going after and looking at a summary or looking at some quotations, even writing down a few quotations I find really helpful. That's pretty much the gist of it. But going back to the James Altucher thing that I talked about at the beginning of this video, sometimes the value of books, and I find this when I read a lot of books, is the energy they give you and the energy the author imbues in the books. And even just that one takeaway from a book can be incredibly powerful. I think there's two different schools of thought, and I've had debates with people about this. I know people who their philosophy is, I'm going to read one book instead of, say, 10. And I'm going to read that book so well and absorb all the information that it's like a part. Like I just understand it perfectly. And there's a really good argument to be made on that side of things. However, my interest is less in becoming, becoming an expert on certain topics. And it's more about I'm more interested in breadth, because I am very interested in a wide variety of subjects. I mean, I'm just looking, I have health books, I have productivity books, I have food photography books, I have literature books, I see a climate change one, The Untethered Soul is like a spiritual one, there's gardening books, there's childhood education, there's Hero with 1,000 Faces, I have Joseph Campbell over there. It's like a lot of different subjects. And I think the thing that I'm most interested in is exploring widely and making connections between unrelated things. So instead of deep diving one specific topic, I like drawing from all different kinds of things, because I could read a philosophy book that informs my piano teaching. It teaches me how to teach better. Or I could read something about climate change that gives me like a better insight into, I don't know, I'm just looking at like, I don't know, gardening. but I think all of these things allow more breadth of connection and allows me to have a more diverse palette in which to have ideas. So it's less about memorizing the content. And I realized I was supposed to wrap this up, and then I went on a whole other side tangent. Get me talking about books, guys. I could go all day. But I'm going to leave it here for now. Hopefully this gives you something useful to think about. And if not, thanks for spending time with me anyway, guys. Have a great weekend, and I'll catch up with you later.